You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for April 25th, 2018. This is Slash Film Editor-in-Chief Peter Serretta, and joining me on today's podcast is a special guest,
Stephen Wantrell from Collider.com.
And we are here still in Las Vegas at CinemaCon 2018. This is the convention that used to be called Show West. It's where all the movie theater exhibitors gather together to watch presentations from the big Hollywood movie studios for all the films coming out in the next year plus. We just got out of the Universal Pictures presentation, and Universal brought it. They brought tons of footage, including footage from Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, the Unbreakable sequel, Glass, the Halloween movie, a ton of stuff. Let's get into it.
Their panel opened with Damien Chazelle, Ryan Gosling, Claire Foy, and I think it was just those three, and talking about First Man, which is their take on the Neil Armstrong going to the moon, the moon mission.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised that they said that this is the first movie about that, made about that. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You'd think that would be a great, great topic for a movie.
Sure, and for people that don't realize, Damien Chazelle previously made Whiplash and La La Land. He's what we call a talented filmmaker. The footage looked nothing short of incredible. I mean, it really, really yeah. looked fantastic. Ryan Gosling looks amazing, and it just shows the what really went on, what everyone gave from NASA to the pilots to the families to make this mission happen.
Yeah, aesthetically, it kind of looks like Apollo 13 just because, you know, it's NASA and it's like 70, or not 76, whatever. You know, it's based around Ryan Gosling and his family. So yes. it's kind of a drama, and like there's this like kind of like heartbreaking scene where they're like Neil Armstrong is telling his kids about the mission. He's going to the moon, and the kid like asks like, "How do we know you're coming back?" And I don't know. It just seems like it could be something special.
Well, I mean, listen, with Damien's track record, the fact that his last two films are just incredible, the expectations for this film are obviously huge because. It's coming out in October. It's clearly an awards kind of movie. But the trailer ends, the footage ends, with inside the perspective of Neil inside the suit coming down the stairs on the moon.
And he sees his shadow on the moon.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the footage looked amazing. I can't say enough positive things. And it looks like, to be honest, though, like, it looks like what you would expect from this pairing. You know, like, it looks like another incredible pairing. The trailer's going to be online, I'm sure, within the next month, and you'll all agree with what we're saying. Yeah. So let's move on. I think a lot of people wanted to... Oh.
We should briefly talk about The Grinch that came before that. I'm not sure if anybody cares about that, but Illumination Entertainment, the guys that did Despicable Me and the Minions movies, they're making Dr. Seuss's The Grinch.
Benedict Cumberbatch is the voice.
Yeah, and you know what? There's already trailers out there, but I think this is a new trailer, and it looked better than the other trailers, I think. I like the look of this world, and you know, has some funny moments, like with Grinch beating his dog at chess, cheating to beat his dog at chess, and
I almost felt, though, a little bit like it was Gru from Despicable Me a little bit, in terms of just with a little bit of side characters.
Yes. Well, it has that Illumination Entertainment, like, we gotta put fart jokes and stuff, so it has, like, the Grinch puking into a jar of pickles, and then there's, like, the trailer ends with, like, one character, like, huffing whipped cream. I'm like, is this a kid's movie?
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, and just being honest, this is not my movie. This is clearly not aimed at me. It's going to make a ridiculous sum of money.
Yeah.
You already know. It's they just have their audiences really respond to Illumination and the characters, and it's going to do very well. But yeah, clearly not my movie.
But it looks closer to the Grinch that I want to see rather than that Jim Carrey movie that came out from Ron Howard.
Sure, and listen, the animation looks good. But let's move on to something that everyone wants to know about, which is Glass and Halloween. What do you want to do first?
You want to do all the good stuff up
front. Let's just do Glass or Halloween next.
Because we have some other good stuff there. Like, you don't want to keep people waiting. Let's do Glass.
So for people that don't realize what Glass is, because I just want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Glass is M. Night Shyamalan's sequel to Unbreakable and essentially Split. For those who've been waiting for an Unbreakable sequel, which is me, you, and everybody else, so this movie features Sam Jackson, Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, and M. Night coming back. Sarah Paulson plays a psychologist.
By the way, there was no information about this movie, I think, out there.
Like, no,
there's
very little.
We saw the first footage today, and we actually know what the movie is about.
Totally.
Which is interesting because Sarah Paulson plays this psychiatrist named Ellie Staple, which that almost makes me think, like, you know, like Mr. Glass, Ellie Staple. I don't know. It seems there might be something there.
Sure.
But anyways, I'm already speculating before we see. We've just seen, like, a trailer. And she's there at a jail, which three of these characters are in jail.
I was going to say, we should say that this takes place. Yeah, I was going to say, let's give what we learned about the fact that they're all in jail. The movie, I don't think the movie starts with them in jail, but it could. There's a great scene where all three of them, it's Sam Jackson, James McAvoy, Bruce Willis, are all in chairs. And she's sitting across from them, and it's basically for a jail where people believe they're superheroes.
Yeah. I'm not sure the jail is for people who believe they're superheroes, but they happen to be detained in this one place, and she is studying people.
Who believe that they're superheroes. Yes, that's what it is.
That would be incredible if there's a jail somewhere in this world.
That completely came out.
I don't know, like, and I guess. I don't know. It was so quickly caught. It was hard to see what was going on, but I think they tried to escape together.
Like, there's a scene where where Sam Jackson and James McAvoy are talking, where Glass wants to meet the creature, and he wants to get to know these personalities, and McAvoy is like, you might not want to meet them. They might not like you, or she might not like you.
Yeah.
Something like that. But there's a lot of other stuff where you see, there's a lot of, like, a montage of footage where you saw Bruce Willis walking again, bumping into people to try to pick up vibes.
He gets his raincoat back, that, like, poncho.
I almost want to say that there's a scene in it that looked like they all escaped. Like, there was, like, a breakout.
That's what it looked
like to me. Maybe, like, they were, like, a breakout scene. But ultimately, it looked like he had taken the world of Unbreakable and the world of Glass and brought them together into what's Glass, the title is called. But look,
you know what surprised me, and this isn't gonna be, you could take this as a negative, I'm not meaning this as a negative, it looked a lot smaller of a movie than I thought it was gonna be.
Well, keep in mind,
that's not a negative.
Sure. I actually like the fact that this is gonna be a character piece and not end of the world piece. But look, I mean, Unbreakable was made for a lot of money, and Glass was Split was made for under $10 million. So what I think they're doing is, because Universal has domestic rights and Disney, Touchstone Pictures, has international rights because they owned Unbreakable, I think this is what's called, like, a much larger budget for Blumhouse and for Universal than these typical low budget. But I'm pretty sure that this is like a $30, $35 million movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is not some crazy
budget. And a lot of that is probably going to the stars, too.
Listen, to me, though, it looked like the Unbreakable sequel and the Split. It looked exactly like what I wanted it to look. and I cannot wait for this movie to be in theaters.
Yeah,
and cannot wait.
And the trailer setup, it's going to be online because it's set up to, like, this seems like for mass audiences to be like, oh, look, you remember Unbreakable, you remember this guy that survived this train accident.
Yeah.
And it ends with this cool moment where someone asks, I forget who, maybe it was James McAvoy's character, asks Samuel Jackson what his name is.
Oh, yeah. The first name is Mister. The second name is Glass.
And then the title card.
Right. and listen, all I can say is if you're like us and you've been looking forward to this, you're going to be very, very happy. And hopefully the footage is online soon. It looked great.
You know what? I want to put like a smaller movie in between.
Sure, let's go.
What's
next?
Because I feel like this is a movie I wasn't expecting. It's called The House with a Clock in Its Walls. It's by Eli Roth. Does not look like an Eli Roth movie. It doesn't look like Hostel or scary horror movie. This is from Amblin, and they were like on stage being like, this is a throwback to, you know, the classic Amblin horror.
We should say
movies.
It also stars Kate Blanchett and Jack Black, who were both on stage.
Yeah, and it's so much of a throwback that actually the trailer they showed us started with the retro Universal and Amblin logos from like the 80s.
Yeah, and that's a great touch.
Yeah, and how do you describe this? A young kid... I guess he's going to stay with, what is it, uncles or some relatives.
Yeah.
It's very, what's that show with Neil Patrick Harris? Unfortunate Events. It's very
kind of
like,
unfortunate.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. It feels like that, where like it's an old house, old Victorian house, and the house is maybe alive in some way.
Sure.
You see the touch. How do you want to describe it?
First of all, as you said, it doesn't look like an Eli Roth movie. It looks like that, and I think they said on stage, it's like an 80s Amblin-esque movie with more modern effects. I believe that Jack Black and Cate Blanchett play witches. I think he plays like a warlock.
Yeah.
And it's about, I don't know how else to describe it. It's them, how else would you go?
I don't know, it's interesting because it's creepy. Like, these things are happening with the house behind them, and they're not seeing it.
Well,
but
some
we're
of them,
seeing it.
Yeah, some of it they're seeing.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting. I don't know where this is going. It's, you know, there's a mystery to it. We see later on, like, this one clip of Jack Black throwing a fireball.
Yeah, it looks like the kid that's living with them, the 13 or 12-year-old protagonist, is clearly, you know, that's the audience coming into the house, learning about everything. And clearly Jack Black and Cate Blanchett have been either protecting this house or, you know, there's something going on. But it looked like a throwback movie, and it looked like if you saw Goosebumps, Jack clearly, you know, resonated with kids. That movie did very well, and it looks, you know, something along those lines with way more visual effects.
This reminded me, there was a movie that came out 10, 20 years ago, Monster House, at the beginning of like computer
animation. Oh, yeah, completely.
It reminded me a lot like that. So, I don't know, I'm in. I'm excited for this. This is a movie I didn't even know existed until today.
I did know it existed. But yeah, it looked like a fun little ride, in like an 80s type thing. But I think we should jump into Halloween, because...
Okay, the Halloween stuff is the second most exciting thing I saw today.
Yeah. So let's rewind for people that don't realize what's going on.
Yeah.
David Gordon Green directed a new Halloween movie, which takes place... 40 years after the original Halloween movie,
it's
which
being produced by Jason Blum of Blumhouse.
Totally, Jamie Lee Curtis is back. It takes it kind of says some of the sequels did not happen, and there's a line in there.
Not kind of says it. Basically, misses every single sequel.
Right. There's a line where the kids are walking, where her granddaughter is walking, and I believe she says to one of the friends says, wasn't it the brother
who did it? Yeah.
And she's like, no.
She's like, no, that's just stupid rumors or something like that. Like, it was like total, like, if those movies are stupid.
Right. The great thing about the footage is that it looked like this is going to be a very, very, I want to stress the word, very scary movie.
Oh, we should set up what the premise of this is. 40 years later.
Sure.
Jamie Lee Curtis has been preparing and training for the last 40 years. And just in case Michael Myers ever escapes.
Sure.
She is like a badass.
So wait, we should say.
Sarah Connor. Like.
Absolutely. That's a very good comparison. Mike has been locked up in a prison for 40 years. And it involves, right now, there's a lot of true life crime dramas that are on like Netflix and whatnot. A lot of streaming shows. And this is
about. Making a murderer, that kind of
thing.
Totally.
This is about these two people we saw in the footage. These two filmmakers, sort of with a camera. go to visit Mike in a prison where he is in a special outdoor area. And they,
chained up.
Totally. And they pull out the mask to see what kind of reaction would happen. And as they pull out the mask, everyone starts freaking out. There's another clip that we saw with a bus turned on its side. So it must be that on Halloween or the day before Halloween, Mike is being transported somewhere with other criminals. And there's an escape where the bus flips over. We don't know how. Mike escapes and is obviously going after Jamie Lee Curtis. So everyone
Not just Jamie Lee Curtis. I think the main character of this might be Jamie Lee Curtis's granddaughter or daughter or granddaughter.
Could
I forget
be.
What it was. And, you know, she's going to play, that's going to be like the John Connor, and she's going to play the Sarah Connor. I'm going all the way with this comparison.
Sure. Well, the key thing is that it's Halloween, so everyone's dressed up. So he eventually gets the mask on, and it's Halloween.
Yeah. And of course, it's a suburban neighborhood. Yeah. There's some creepy scare. It ends with this really amazing scare in a closet.
Yes, that's great. But there's also a scene where he's in like a gas station coming in and someone's in the bathroom, or there's like a public bathroom and this girl is sitting in the stall and he's trying to come in and he reaches over, puts his hand up and lets go, and all these teeth come
bloody teeth.
Yeah, just land on the ground and she freaks
so
out.
So creepy.
And look, I mean, the Halloween franchise started so strong and has been just laughed at for so long, and it looks like that, you know, Blumhouse and David Gordon Green, Danny McBride, everyone involved in this thing has said, we want to bring this back and make it scary and make it relevant for today's audience and not fuck around. And that is what the footage that I saw.
You know, I love the original Halloween, but I'm not a big fan of this franchise. Like, you know, I don't like any of the sequels, really. So I wasn't really expecting to, like, be excited for this, but after seeing this footage, I'm so excited to see this movie.
Yeah, it's like also, listen, it's David Gordon Green is a really good filmmaker, and when I heard he was taking this on, you know, he's a very talented guy. Like, he must have had an angle on it that, you know, makes it interesting, and he did. It looks really good. Like, you know, I was very, very impressed. You want to touch on How to Train Your Dragon 3?
Yeah, let's touch on that. They just recently revealed the title is Hidden World or something.
Yeah, sure. Yes. The Hidden World.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so this trailer, we haven't seen the trailer yet. This is the first trailer we got.
This is also the reveal of what the movie's about.
Yes. The interesting thing about this, well, obviously they find this hidden world.
Sure.
Where Toothless discovers a girlfriend, a white Toothless.
Yes. And she can disappear into this other, I don't want to say dimension, but other land. And it looks like they're being the antagonist looks like a hunter who's been going after all of Toothless's kin and wants to kill the last one. And Jay Baruchel's character is basically saying, we need to escape, trying to get everyone and all the dragons to go because they're going to go to this other, they want to go to this other land. Animation looks spectacular.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of the first one. And think that this is one of those, this is just, this is by DreamWorks Animation, and this is my favorite, these are my favorite movies by DreamWorks Animation. I just, I like this world, I like the characters,
me too.
I like the animation.
I'm a huge fan of that first movie. That movie made me cry, like there's some amazing 3D stuff, I don't know, it's just very good. I'm excited for this, and this is the final movie.
Yeah, and they actually said this is the last chapter. Yeah. This is the last installment.
Which is crazy, because I feel like that world and that franchise, did you know they've done like 5-6 seasons of a TV series in that?
No, I just see the movies. But yeah. I'll just say that I apologize for not doing a better description of the footage. I'll just say that it...
Well, it's also the case of they showed that footage after the Glass trailer, and I was frantically typing on my computer trying to like remember everything I saw in the Glass trailer, and I was like not able to pay close attention to.
The thing you need to know is these trailers, to quote another Universal movie, came fast and furious. There was a whole...
By the way, no mention of Fast and Furious.
Because they're still putting it all together. And also, it's not a this year movie. They only went into January of next year. But it was very fast. A lot of filmmakers and people on stage. It was...
Do you want to say anything about Mortal Engine, the Peter Jackson film with the moving cities?
Sure. Peter Jackson did a little video intro from New Zealand It was like obviously pre-recorded, and he basically said that the footage we were about to see was very rough, and he was not exaggerating. It was very rough.
It had like some black and white like early renders of CG and stuff like that.
We also saw like the plate of like the footage of them running in an actual location surrounded by like CGI.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was very, very rough. It doesn't look like anything I've ever seen. It looks very unique in terms of like world building.
Yeah.
I mean, all.
Well, see, that's the thing is, I'm not sure this movie is going to be good. But the world building looks fantastic, and the visuals, like every action scene that they're showing here, looks interesting.
Sure.
And like something we haven't seen before.
Hugo Weaving plays what looks to be like the antagonist.
Yeah.
And it looks like, and I believe someone said it took place 1,000 years after whatever happened to the civilization. So it's these moving cities that can attack one another. It's a borderline, like almost a video game. Is it based on a video game? Because it looks to me like something.
I think it's based on a book.
It looks like something that could have been a video game that's been adapted. It looks like nothing I've ever seen. And like you, even if the story is terrible, visually it's going to be like nothing you've seen.
Yeah, and we should get on to probably. You know, I said Halloween was my second most exciting thing I saw today. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was the most exciting thing I saw today. They showed us the opening sequence from this movie.
Is that the opening?
That's what they said.
Okay, I wasn't.
Which involved, what do you call that? Like, there's some people in a submerged vehicle.
Submarine type thing.
Is it a submarine?
It's a small submarine type thing.
Like one of those things you see going down to the Titanic. It's like a small pod.
Sure.
And they are going to recover a piece of a bone from the Indominus Rex, who we know in Jurassic World 1, spoiler alert, dies in the water there. So they are let in through the gates, though, into the Jurassic World lagoon, and they're there to saw off a piece of the bone, I assume, to get the DNA. They didn't say.
Sure, that's probably true.
And while they're down there, it's of course night and it's raining, and there's some thunder and lightning, and the lightning clues us into there's something else in the lagoon with them.
This
something
is a
huge.
Huge shocker that there would be a dinosaur in that lagoon going after them. Meanwhile, while that's going on, there is a guy upstairs near a helicopter who is monkeying around on the controls to keep that gate open, and they're clearly trying to get some stuff and then get
actually,
out of
he's
there.
A ways from a helicopter. He's at like one of those like control panels, like in a whatever, and they lose contact with this submarine
after
vehicle.
What happens is that under the water, they saw off the bone, they attach a balloon, and the balloon's going up, but the balloon hits a certain creature, and then that creature... That creature goes after, just eats everything.
The cool thing, though, is they don't show it.
No.
Like, it is very Steven Spielberg Jaws-like, where we get to see glimpses, and it's, like, tension-filled. It's very inspired by, I feel like, Jaws.
Yeah.
And then they lose contact. So the guy's, like, trying to get contact with them. The people in the helicopter from across the way are telling the guy that's on the controls, run, run. And he's like, what? And, of course...
There is I'm going to use the term large dinosaur.
I think that was the T-Rex. I think that was Rexy.
Yeah.
There's this chase sequence where the guy's running away from Rexy and trying to get to the helicopter. The helicopter's taking off. He grabs up to the...
Let's just say there's a very, very well done chase sequence.
Yeah.
With dinosaurs that makes you remember, oh yeah, this is going to make a ridiculous sum of money.
Not just ridiculous, it's a good chase sequence. After seeing this sequence, I know what I'm about to say, Steve. It's going to be hyperbolic.
I've never heard you say anything hyperbolic.
I know that we have not seen enough of this movie to make a statement like this. By the way, I've visited set, so I did see a bunch more than you. But seeing the sequence, if the rest of the movie is this good, this is going to be the best Jurassic Park movie since the first one.
You could be right.
Potentially.
Sure. There's also this... I didn't watch the recent trailer, but the footage we saw today, was that all the...
That was the recent trailer.
Okay, yeah. So
at the end of the clip, they showed the recent trailer.
Yeah, so there is a lot of information now about this movie. But ultimately, for me, the footage we saw, the full scene looked... It looked great. And it looked like what audiences want out of a Jurassic World or a Jurassic Park. And, I'm ready to see it. And it comes out June 22nd. It's going to make all the money.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's all that we saw. I mean, we saw some other stuff, Night School, Mamma Mia. We just saw
Cher perform.
Yeah, but who cares about that?
We have to stop. It's already been like 22 minutes. So we'll just say that out of the footage we've seen at CinemaCon, or the footage I've seen at CinemaCon thus far, Universal really delivered the goods above and beyond, because it was just so much footage, new footage that no one had ever seen.
They brought the goods. Steve, if people want to find more of your work, where can they find it?
I'm on Collider and on Twitter and Instagram as Collider Frosty.
You can find me at SlashFilm on Twitter and SlashFilm.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.